gentlemen, it's time for another round of racing and rocking with Dragnest.com. Staging in the left lane is your host, founder and creator of the Draglist, Bill Pratt. And in the right lane, John, the Wildcat. You're going to hear news and interviews from the world of drag racing, both now and then. So get yourself situated, pull your belts tight, grab your favorite beverage, and get ready for some racing and rocking.
Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to Racing and Rocking with Draglist.com, produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. I'm Bill Pratt. It's great to be with you tonight because tonight we feature one of my favorite racers, nostalgia funny car racer Kevin Johnson. I'll ask him some racing questions, John will ask him some rocking questions, and you can join the live chat during the show at racersreunion.com. Also, we are broadcasting live on the Draglist Facebook page, so check us out there as well. But without further ado, let's bring him on. Kevin Johnson, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Man, so great to have you on. Of course, we see you and your dad racing all up and down the East Coast with those great funny cars. But folks have seen you for many, many years in the fabulous Glory Days injected Camaro. But more recently, you've brought out this bad, bad quarter-pounder Trans Am. With a big old blower on top. Tell us a little bit about what it's like to run two funny cars, or at least have two funny cars, on this exciting nostalgia circuit.
Well, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my family, my wife, everybody that's friends and family that have given the effort. That's why we're family racing. We started out, finding the Glory Days project that was original funny car from late 60s that Mark Williams actually had built for John Decker, who drove the Assassination line of funny cars for quite a while, I guess, with Roger Guzman. And, that project started us off. So when we got into that, we ran the car for a bit. We found out about Denny's old car, Denny Saltzwimmer, the director of the Great Lakes Funny Car Circuit. He had the Trans Am years before. And so I jumped on it, and from that point on, we basically just whipped it into shape, and last year was the first season out with the car. It's a big block Chevy with a blower. We just put a new blower on this year, actually, so we're stepping it up a little bit more, doing some small upgrades, and put some graphics on the car this year, focusing on a little bit more show. We love to do big burnouts, love to run side-by-side passes with all of our buddies in the Great Lakes Nostalgia Funny Car Circuit. So we're looking forward to another year in 2017. We have a few shows booked for the Great Lakes group, and we have the Funny Car Nationals coming up on July 15th, ATCO, and August 26th, Beaver Springs, Labor Day weekend, and then back out at Pittsburgh, where, Keystone Raceway Park, where we're having the Funny Car Nationals. We'll be back out there, so we're ready to go, pushing the pedal down and see how fast you'll go.
Man, ready to rock it, and we're looking forward to seeing you at Pittsburgh. Both John and I will be there. And John's doing some travel. He traveled about as far as your funny car traveled to get to you. I mean,
it's about a 24-hour drive from here. I'm in Houston, so plan it very carefully and get there on time and get back on time too.
There you go.
Fantastic.
From Oil City to Steel City, baby. It's going to be
nice.
Rocking across the states. Yeah, the cars you've got, talk about the Decker cars, of course, a famous Colorado team for many years. That thing traveled a bit to get to you. And then you also have the old Rainbow Connection car out of Illinois, one of the great AHRA Double B funny cars of all time. That thing was wicked in its day with Howard Pwepping behind the wheel. And almost everybody who's had it has made that thing fly. And looking forward to seeing you put that venerable car down the strip.
Yeah, that Denny was the first one to bring it back after Howard sold it to brothers that ran it real quickly, and then Denny got it from them, and then of course Bob and Kathy Flock ran it, and that was the first time that car wasn't a Double B car. That was a Nitro car.
Wow.
So, you know, it's seen, well, I guess with 37 years or so, it's seen quite a bit of racing, and we're happy to keep it going and do our part to keep that great heritage going.
It's really amazing. Go right ahead.
Well, I was going to say the Decker car, like you said, that was across the country as well. It went as far as Seattle, I believe. It was definitely in Washington State. it was like an old funny car at the time. It wasn't really coveted, and people just, you know, made it into the, you know, a comp car or maybe even a super pro car or something like that with a gas, you know, gas setup. So it had seen quite a long and hard road when we had it, and we took it to our friends and family, you know, very close family member or friend to the family, Ed Quay Race Cars out of Pottstown, and he looked it over. He had actually he knows Mark Williams, and they had talked about the car, and it was a good thing to have somebody with his experience and 30 plus years of welding experience just to look at the car in the state it was, just to make sure it was safe enough. So what we did was we converted it basically into, you know, the more modern specs, an 850 certificate for that to run in the quarter mile. So it's a Logie chassis style, wide with the four corner suspension. So it's got quite a, you know, crazy launching style when we leave off the trans brake. But that's another thing too. That's a good show car for everyone that comes out to see it. You don't see funny cars making wheel stands too often that are intended.
Right. I tell you what, there's some chassis building experience right there. Ed Quay and Mark Williams combine that experience together. That's amazing. Talk about some legends.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was all part of the show and go in Pottstown, Pennsylvania from the 60s on. My dad got out of the service and, you know, fell in love with drag racing and started at Maple Grove. He had run a 70 Challenger, 440, just basically off the showroom floor and got started. And then he had two front motor dragsters that we raced through the 80s. So my sister and I, our whole family, we grew up at Maple Grove. Know the folks there, Mike Lewis and his mother and their family that have the track all this time. It's just
right.
It's part of my background right there in that track.
It's so great. And your dad, you know, in addition to being a great racer, one terrific photographer whose past work brings to life many drag list entries today, as well as a lot of Facebook groups and elsewhere. So it's just great that you guys get to hang out. And I love talking to your dad when we're at the races. Such a great gentleman.
He is. He's a fantastic role model. I wouldn't be here, you know, without him and my mom. You know, my sister and all of us, we just loved drag racing growing up. We'd go from Maple Grove out to Beaver. I had moments out at Beaver just to remember that as a 10, 12-year-old kid. And now be racing out there and shaking hands with Beaver Bob, just, you know, for our own little local PA area. That's a great thing to me. That really, it means a lot. You know, it's comfortable because, you know, running a car, you know, like this at this point, getting comfortable in it is most important. So when I go to the tracks where I feel the most comfortable, it allows me to just, you know, drive the car to its max.
You bet. Those guys do take care of their racers and their tracks. I mean, it's like going back home. I'm like halfway an adopted son of Pennsylvania here, although I'm a Marylander now. I always get a great warm reception up there, and that's family up there, all up and down the East Coast.
Absolutely.
Well, let's see. You talked about, you know, you're talking about how old these cars are. It's really amazing that they're still running. I mean, how many street cars are still out there running with just the wear and tear that they get, let alone going 200 mile an hour and a quarter? And these things are still holding up. Obviously, the pipe gets refreshed up a couple of years, and you bring the safety specs up. But it's just amazing how long these cars can run, given how fast they go.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say that, you know, a fresh chassis and, you know, set up, you know, could be optimal, but we're in for the celebration. As long as we're doing it in a safe manner, then we're out for celebrating the past. It's just our little show, our little bit of, you know, what the drag racing, you know, whole scene offers everybody, a little bit for everyone. And this is our little thing, and it's, you know, it's blown alcohol, so it doesn't break your bank. We can be a, you know, small family and do it on a budget. I honestly consider it probably just as expensive or not as expensive as just running a bracket car, you know, being out there at the track every weekend. And that's ultimately what we want to do. We want to have fun and equally as much put on a show. So I love my burnouts. You know, love hearing that blower wind, and you know, hope that the fans do too.
Well, it's a great car. I was there for its birthday last year when you brought it out, and old Matt Stambaugh from down in Virginia kind of helped you shake it out, and it was just fantastic. And it's, you know, how is she running this year? Have you had a few more laps in her this year?
No, we were supposed to get out to Cecil last weekend, but things fell through. We're putting a different tune up in it because of the blower. So basically, we're a little behind the ball as far as testing. The car drives like a dream, to tell you the truth, and it's launching great. I'm catching up as far as, you know, the tune-up on the car. We're catching up with that, so hopefully we're all going to come together at the Funny Car Nationals, and we'll be in the 20s to 30s is our target. So hopefully we run in with the pack, and again, putting on the show. That's the most important thing. So anybody that's coming out, that, you know, make sure they stop by our pit. We've got a lot of handouts and a lot of cool stuff to take home with you.
Well, we'll definitely be coming by, that's for sure. And man, it's hard to believe it's 1 month away, a little more than a month away. And I'm starting to get excited.
Yeah, same here.
I think we're looking at. I mean, I think it's going to be the first 32 car funny car field anywhere since Bakersfield, if we've even done it in Bakersfield. I guess they've had close or a little bit over that, but. You know, as far as the East Coast goes, man, it's been many a moon since we've had 32 funny cars on a track. Almost did it last year in Ohio. I think there were 29 at the end of the day. But going for at least three more this year, and it's great to have that big flat black machine as one of them.
Yeah, well, that was the thing. You know, that kind of got through for us testing. I didn't want to go put the car on the track and decide that, you know, it wants to make a hard left or a hard right and scrape all that fine paint off. So we decided to go, you know, completely rat rotted for that first testing season. So
it looked wicked,
yeah, it is. Everybody says that the Batmobile, I think, was a lot of the comments, and you know, just an evil looking machine, which, you know, the stance of that car, Hal Canode built that in 1979-80. And, you know, I see stuff still to this day on certain newer chassis that he did and things. I mean, it's just that, again, is why I have no qualms about running that car, you know, up to 200 miles an hour after this many years. He built a fine chassis. That is absolutely for sure.
That is another name, chassis builder from the days in Racer, you know, one of the top UDRA racers for many years. I actually watched Hal race in 82. At Norwalk, Ohio, way before it was a super track, with the UDRA. What a great show that was. Fred Mandolini and, you know, you name Zizzo and all those guys when he was running alcohol with a Chevy, of course, you know, the top fuel guys now.
Yeah.
But, oh my gosh, yeah. It makes me remember just how old I am, but we sure have had fun looking at stuff over the years. Well, let me ask you this question. You know, as you travel down the road of life there and you have to go into the races, tell us a couple memories here. Your most fun, your most miserable, and the craziest times that you've ever experienced in your racing career, or maybe even following Dad around. Can you still hear me, Kevin?
Looks like he's still connected, BP, but apparently he's lost us.
Oh, man. Well, hopefully we can get Kevin back on here in a couple moments.
Go ahead, guys. I'll try to reconnect, okay?
Sounds good. Okay. We'll give Kevin one more shot. You there, buddy?
I got to redial.
Right, awesome.
I got to redial, BP.
Okay. Well, let's keep it going then. John, do you think we could jump to the Racer of the Week for a couple minutes?
Yeah, sure. I've got it right here, BP. My pick for races of the week are Russell and Angel Shaner from Newcastle, Pennsylvania. Russell and Angel were recommended to me by Russell's brother, Robert Shaner. Thank you, Robert. Russell and Angel race their outstanding pair of hot rods regularly at Quaker City Motorsports Park in Salem, Ohio. These cars are also featured in shows that are held there. They're one of the most popular and well-known drag racing families in their region. Russell and Angel started dating when Angel was 14 and Russell was 16. They dated for 6 years and married when Russell was 21 years old. Now, they have two kids now, Russell Jr., he has a 98 Camaro, and Mercedes, and she has an 80 Camaro Z28.
BP, we got Kevin back.
Hey,
yeah, Kevin, sorry about that. I just heard a click
right.
And then a dial tone.
Well, you know what? We're like Milton Berle, baby. This is live. And so, John, thanks so much. And we'll catch up with the rest of the Racer of the Week here in a moment. We might even redo the whole thing.
Okay.
But while we still got you, Kevin, give us your most fun, your most miserable, and the craziest times you've ever experienced at the track or on your way to or from.
Yeah, a lot of times it's the unfortunate trailer tire blowout that puts you in an awkward spot somewhere. We had two tires blow out, actually, coming back from the Funny Car Nationals 1 year. And for some reason, I had a second spare, and I decided right before we pulled out that the morning of the Friday we were heading out there to throw it in the back of the truck. So,
nice.
But besides those, growing up, like I said, at Beaver Springs, Dad was running his front motor car there back in the 70s, and he was backing up after the burnout and either lost a master cylinder or brake pressure. We lost some, and he backed up into a car because, you know, the lanes are right behind the staging area there. And the guy from the car jumps out, and he's going after my dad, thinking, you know, he's all mad, and my sister's out there ready to take out the guy. quite a comical thing. Nothing, you know, no harm came to anyone. It was just a minor thing, but yeah, those are, you know, mishaps at the track. As long as they're not anything major and nobody's hurt, that's the way we've been lucky and blessed to race all these years, so we're going to keep that same thing going. But yeah, I'd say that the like you said, the Funny Car Nationals are probably the most fun time because we have so many of our friends there. I mean, that's, you know, more than two dozen friends, and it's growing every year thanks to Denny Saltswimmer's efforts and all the fine support we get from Good Vibrations Motorsports, and Pete has been helping us for years. It really does lend itself well to putting on a good show, you know. And I'd say that when we're out there, that is probably the best road trip out to and from, and the best, you know, memories of, and, you know, that's the show to be seen, to go to, if you have to save up for a show, that's definitely the one.
Yeah, no doubt, folks, you are not going to see 32 Funny Cars maybe ever again, but certainly you haven't seen them so far in your careers, so I'm telling you. And so July 15th at Pittsburgh, Keystone Raceway Park, I'm going to be there, John's going to be there, Kevin's going to be there, you should be there too. And before we cut you loose, I'm going to send you to John to find out about some rocking questions. John, take it away.
Thanks, VP. Yeah, Kevin, we'd like to know what your favorite kind of music is.
That's hard for me to narrow down, but if I had to, I'd say some kind of a trio of rock, funk, and blues. Mostly blues out of those trio, but I'm also a pretty big jazz head. I love all kinds of jazz, from contemporary to the new stuff, and, you know, Steely Dan even. I played in a couple bands, played bass guitar and rhythm guitar. So it was a great experience and a lot of fun, but. These days, the new stuff, I'd probably go with the Black Keys. I even like Radiohead a little bit more, like a new Pink Floyd type of band. But Pink Floyd, I'd say, and Jimi Hendrix and Led Zeppelin are probably, I'd have to do the Desert Island music that I would have to have. That would probably fill in all those.
Wow. Yeah, man, those are great, man. The Black Keys are fantastic. I didn't know you played. Do you still play?
Yeah, we actually do. I mean, again, there's just so little time left in any given day anymore, but we try to get together on Friday nights, two other buddies of mine and I, and we just do a trio, all kinds of different stuff, and more of it is, you know, about experimenting and trying new toys out and things, so it's all about just having fun.
That's it, man. You got it. Yeah, I'm playing in a working band here in town. We're out there every weekend. You know, we play mostly in the Galveston, Houston Bay Area, and we're doing soul hits from the 50s and 60s, old-time rock and roll and blues.
Oh, nice.
And we played in Port Arthur last Saturday night, and we're playing in Galveston coming up Friday. So we got it down to one night a week. We were doing two or three nights a week, and it was getting kind of hard on everybody, you know. So we kind of cut back on the schedule a little bit, but we're having a good time. So when you're on your way to the races or when you're at the track, do you ever get a song in your head that gets you pumped up to want to go out there and race?
You know, to tell you the truth, I grew up at the track, and we had experienced the 60s, the 70s, and into the 80s, and Maple Grove, for most of that time that I can remember, they played the Beach Boys on the PA system when Dad worked there, and I used to go there with him. So the Beach Boys have a little bit of a connection to that nostalgia in my heart. But other than that, to get me ready for driving, it would definitely be, you know, Metallica, even the Black Keys, too. But definitely, I'd say Hendrix or Zepp would probably be the first thing I'd go for.
Outstanding, man. Yeah. You been to any concerts lately?
No, actually I haven't. Another casualty of not having enough time in a day. I would love to.
Yeah. I think the last concert I went to was Brian Wilson when he came to town. My wife got tickets for us to go, and he did all the hits, and he also did Smile, the album that never made it, you know.
But never made it, yeah.
He had a 14-piece orchestra, man, and he was just fantastic.
He is something else. I watched the recent documentary on him that was out of this world. It was really good.
Yeah. Yeah, it really was, and I agree about the Beach Boys being, I think they're the classic American hot rod band.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Booker T and the MGs and Green Onions probably have to take a spot in my heart, too, with American Graffiti and whatnot, growing up on that stuff.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man.
Well, for sure. Well, man, I tell you what, you know, definitely the Beach Boys were playing on the radio every time we drove up and down to Thompson Raceway Park when I was a kid, and... And man, I want to party with you, Cowboy. We're talking blues now. I'm ready to go. Anyway, thanks so much, Kevin, for joining us tonight. Kevin Johnson, everybody, amazing, amazing quarter pounder Trans Am Funny Car will be at Pittsburgh on the 15th, and we'll be there to see him next month. Kevin, thanks for joining us tonight.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks, John. You guys take care.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right, Kevin Johnson, everybody, the fabulous drag racer from out here in the East. Let's turn it over to John Bockelman. John, go ahead and do your full racers of the week. I think we can fit it all in, and I want to give them their full ride.
Yeah, I think so, BP. This will work. You know, as I was saying earlier, the first couple of paragraphs of this, but I'm going to go ahead and repeat it for y'all. My pick for races of the week are Russell and Angel Shaner from Newcastle, Pennsylvania. Russell and Angel were recommended to me by Russell's brother, Robert Shaner. And thank you, Robert. Russell and Angel race their outstanding pair of hot rods regularly at Quaker City Motorsports Park in Salem, Ohio. These cars are also featured in shows that are held there. They are one of the most popular and well-known drag racing families in their region. They have a fascinating story. Russell and Angel started dating when Angel was 14 and Russell was 16. They dated for 6 years and married when Russell was 21 years old. They have two kids. Russ Jr., he has a 98 Camaro, and Mercedes, she has an 80 Camaro Z28. Angel's car is an 87 Monte Carlo SS. It has a 461-inch big block Chevy engine with a 180 shot of nitrous, which, of course, she races. The car has been 11 flat in the quarter mile and has run a 60-foot time of 1.48 seconds. The car still has a full interior and air conditioning, and she runs a turbo 350 tranny with a trans brake in it. Russell's car is a 69 Camaro. It's his first car. He bought it when he was 16. It definitely didn't look then like it does now. He bought it for $800. The car has a 505-inch big block Chevy with an 871 Dyers blower and a set of Predator carbs. The car has run a 998 ET in the quarter mile and has run a 60-foot time of 1.43 seconds. Angel has taken the Camaro down the track to a 1055 ET. Both cars are street legal, and they drive them to and from all of the local shows and races. Russell did the bodywork and paint on both the Monte Carlo and the Camaro. His buddy Randy McFarland did the graphics and flames on the Camaro. Russell said he wanted something different. The paint is flat black, and the flames are cleared. The paint job is about 12 years old. Russ built both cars in his garage. He also built matching golf carts for both cars. He put the motors together after Transfer Machine Shop did the machine work on them. The Camaro was back-halved in his garage as well. It has all new metal, except for the firewall and the roof. Both cars have Rossler transmissions. Russ said it's about a half-hour drive to the transmission shop. He said it's nice to have him close. So Russell says, thanks to my wife for letting me spend money and my friends for all their help through the years. The Camaro made it to Pink's All Out in 2010 at Norwalk, Ohio, but Russell broke the tranny in the time trials. Go figure. Russell and Angel, we wish you good luck, safe racing, and the best of times in the future. Back to you, BP.
Thank you, John. Great stuff, as always, Racer of the Week. Let's talk about our lost friends, folks. We have five this week, if I'm counting, actually six. And some big names here, some folks who've given us a lot of thrills over the years. Gary Four of the four-play Gasser, the 41 Willys, the big orange car that you saw in from California for many, many years on the Nostalgia Circuit, passed away on June 5th. Farewell to Gary. Bobby Fields, the ATCO track manager and tech inspector, passing away on the 8th. And John Glauber, a Kentucky member of the Quads Car Club, real good guy down there. A lot of people like John, passed away on the 6th of the month. On the 8th, we lost Lou DePretis from Keystone Raceway Park. They raced together as a father and son team, father and daughter team for many years on the NHRA and IHRA national event circuits, and they actually won 6 Ironman trophies together. Lou and his daughter. So farewell to Lou, a really great guy. On the 9th, Bob Christman, a Chevy racer with one of those 80 Malibus, and also an L.A. County sheriff who took care of us for many, many years, as well as having fun with him at the races. Farewell to Bob. And then also on the 9th, Vic Edelbrock. I mean, there are few legends in the sport that rise to the level of this gentleman, and of course his dad. Vic Edelbrock, an innovator, builder, racer, not enough words to state what a great human being he was. Of course, everybody, you know, I'm a 70s guy, everybody had that Edelbrock manifold, and of course they went into several other products. Lots of great racer support, lots of great racer support over the years with his great products, and then helping them out through sponsorship as well. Vic Edelbrock, truly one of the greats of the sport. Farewell to you, sir. Vic Edelbrock passing away on the 9th of June. Let's go ahead and wrap up the show. We want to thank Kevin Johnson, who was awesome. John Bachelman, of course, my awesome co-host. Danny White, Jeff and Dustin Gilder doing great production duties as always. Barb Santucci and Bud, Mr. Drag News DeBoer, who line up all the great guests for us. And I mean, I just couldn't be happier or luckier. Guys, we'll see you next week, June 19th, when we feature Austin Ford. A sportsman racer was runner-up at the Houston NHRA Spring Nationals this year. We had his sister on earlier in the year, and she did a great job. So Austin Ford, next Monday night. Folks, have a great week. We will see you next Monday night. Enjoy everything, and adios until then. Bye-bye. Carried us away. Under his breath, I could hear him say, don't bring